Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another evening with us here at Blog Talk Radio. This is New Beginnings Ministry, and the topic this evening is Kingdom Prayer. I'm Dr. Suzanne, and I believe that Brother Norm is on the line with me. Brother Norm, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
Good, Brother Norm. I'm glad you're there. It's amazing, and I'm so amazed at what technology can do, that we can talk to people from all over everywhere, that our message is even archived, and we can go back and listen to it. The phone number here is 347-237-4054. And you can access us online at blogtalkradio.com, one word, blogtalkradio.com, and go to New Beginnings Ministry. We can begin soon. Thank you for calling. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to begin with prayer. We thank you, Father God, for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the ministries to go forth over the airwaves, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for technology, dear Lord, and for the way that you have placed these ideas, these witty inventions and ideas, Father God, in your children's heads, Father God, and you make them come to pass. We thank you, Lord, that everyone listening this evening, Father God, will be blessed. We thank you, Lord, that you would direct this discussion, Father God, and that the Holy Spirit, Father God, would be with us on each and every sentence, dear Lord. If there be something, Father God, that is not of you that we need to deal with, Father God, please illuminate it, dear Lord. I'm not beyond correction, dear Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every home, every household is settled, and we begin this ministry this evening. Again, the topic is prayer. Well, Brother Norm, I hope you had a good day today.
I had a nice long journey to Dayton, and returned safely. Just got back in.
Well, praise
God. Anyway, I had to make sure I, with the modern technology, be able to join in the Bible study.
Amen. You're coming through nice and clear. Well, the topic again is prayer. So what is your understanding of prayer, Brother Norm?
What is my understanding of prayer?
Yes.
It's I think it's very simplistic. It's basic communication between an individual and God, a relationship. So anyway, it's basic communication. It's if your own child, my father, as if my own child would talk to me, I would talk to my father. It's no special formula, but anyway, that you communicate or have dialogue with your father. But anyway, he knows you, and you establish a relationship with him.
I agree with you, Brother Norm. I feel that sometimes people think that, especially in public, that prayer has to be, that when they pray in public, it has to be full of flowery words, and like you need a dictionary to decipher the meaning of the words that some people use. But I believe, like you do, that prayer is simplistic. The Lord knows our hearts. And as we pray to him, we need to pray as if we have a relationship with him. We have a relationship with someone. You don't necessarily go for all of the formalities and all of the decorated language that you just speak from the heart.
Also, when you have a relationship with somebody, you feel at ease to be able to talk with them and share your problems.
Absolutely.
Mine is that relationship. Sometimes, you know, we keep quiet. We don't want to say anything. We think things are going to be taken the wrong way. God knows us. And so anyway, through the power of prayer, it's just simple basic communication and relationship building.
And I think that what you hit on a very good point about relationship, that if you have a relationship with the Lord or even like a relationship with those in your household or people that you work with, the more you communicate with them, the more you know their heart, the more they know your heart, the more you're able, the communication even becomes easier and easier and easier because you've reached out and you're communicating and you understand one another. So there's some things, like when we pray, that we already know God's heart on certain things. We know that God, that we serve a loving God. We know that we serve a forgiving God. We know the God's standards on things and what He expects for or wants from us. and how, and because we have a relationship with him, we desire to please him. We desire to reach out to him. We desire to do things the way that that he would want us to do them. Well, according to the dictionary, prayer is a noun. It's a devout petition to God or an object of worship. It's a spiritual communion with God, as in supplication, thanksgiving, adoration, and or confession. It's the act of practice or praying to God. It's a formula or sequence of words used in or appointed for praying. Prayers, it's a religious observance, either public or private, consisting wholly or mainly of prayer. We say it's personal communication. It's personal communication with God. It means that you're being, you're creating a closeness, like Brother Norm said, a relationship with your, with the deity, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the within the Trinity. It's the practice, prayer is something that we practice, and the more that we practice it, the better our relationship and the better we become with it, the more comfortable we are with prayer. And, of course, the Lord left us the Lord's Prayer as an example of how to pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to look at some scripture. How about you?
I would love to.
Okay, let's look at Genesis 18:17.
I'm sorry, which scripture?
Genesis 18:17-33.
You're breaking up, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. Genesis 18:17-33. And if anyone else would like to speak, just let me know.
You said Genesis 18?
Yes, chapter 18, verse 17 to 33. Do you have it? Would you like to read?
17-33?
Yes, please.
Can you move to a better light? Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you."
Are you in Genesis 18, chapter 18?
This is you know what? I apologize. I'm in Genesis. I'm in Exodus.
I'll go on and read it. Genesis 18.
Hold on one second.
33. "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" God asked. "For Abraham shall become a mighty nation, and he will be a source of blessing for all the nations of the earth. And I have picked him out to have godly descendants and a godly household, men who are just and good, so that I can do for him all I have promised." So the Lord told Abraham, "I have heard that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are utterly evil, and that everything they do is wicked. I'm going down to see whether these reports are true or not, and then I will know." So the other two went on toward Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham a while. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you kill good and bad alike? Suppose you find 50 godly people there within the city. Will you destroy it and not spare it for their sake? That wouldn't be right. Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, to kill the godly with the wicked. Why you would be treating godly and wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. should not the judge of all the earth be fair? And God replied, if I find 50 godly people there, I will spare the entire city for their sake. And then Abraham spoke again, since I have begun, let me go on and speak further so to the Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. Suppose there are only 45. Will you destroy the city for lack of five? And God said, I will not destroy it if I find 45. Then Abraham went further with his request. Suppose there are only 40. And God replied, I won't destroy it if there are 40. Please don't be angry, Abraham pleaded. Let me speak. Suppose only 30 are found there. And God replied, I will do it if there are 30 there. Then Abraham said, since I have dared to speak to God, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And God said, then I won't destroy it for the sake of the 20. Finally, Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, I will speak but this once more. Suppose only 10 are found. And God said, then for the sake of the 10, I won't destroy it. And the Lord went on his way when he had finished his conversation with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his tent. Now, we're stopping there, and of course, we know the end of the story with Sodom and Gomorrah is what happened. But this is an illustration of what happens when you petition the Lord. Abraham went before the Lord, and if we remember even before that in Genesis, that Abraham came from a family of pagan worshipers. So he comes from a family of pagans and was raised in that, but yet still the Lord reached out to him, and he received the Lord and believed the Lord and began to serve the Lord. And he has learned how to petition God, how to go before the Lord and petition him. And I believe that's one of the lessons that we're to learn here this evening, is understanding what God says. God is saying, come before me, have a relationship with me, petition me, tell me the desires of your heart, tell me what you're thinking, tell me what you're feeling, to speak with me, have a relationship. And when you're in relationship with the Lord, just like with your husband or wife, your parents, your children, you share your heart. And Abraham obviously had a relationship with him that felt comfortable sharing. Let's go on now to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. And we find Exodus 32. Please go to Exodus 32, verse 11.
Verse 11 to 14.
Yes, please.
I'll do the honors in reading that. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them out on the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all the land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant of law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, from front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear."
Okay, we want to stop there. From 11 to 14, what is the Lord telling us here? So the first one that we read in Genesis told us to petition the Lord. What's going on here in this, from 11 to 14? Exodus 32.
I would say Moses is petitioning. Of course, the wages of sin is death. But anyway, Moses is petitioning the Lord to basically forgive those who committed sin against God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And then he's also reminding him. He's reminding him of what he had said. Where was it?
Basically his promise, and also the word covenant was also used. And covenant also is another word for promise.
Right. Right. So Moses is reminding the Lord of what he promised. And he said, for in the Living Bible it says, "For you swore by your own self that I will multiply your prosperity as the stars of the heaven, and I will give them all of this land I have promised to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." So, and it says in the Living Bible, "So the Lord spared them because he was reminded," And at the beginning of there in 11, where it says that for Moses, he begged God. He went before God and he begged and he pleaded. He petitioned. He reminded him of what he said. He reminded him of his word that he had given him and of the covenant. And that he knew this and that he believed it, and that he believed what the Lord had said.
And also, you know, you think there, you know, all the people who came out of Egypt, and they're questioning God, and some of them are turning back, you know, to, you know, paganism. And but anyway, before we talked about 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, doers of God's will. But and God, you know, continued to, you know, keep his promise. But even when it came down to it, it was even just one. And that was, you know, Moses. And so that also is a demonstration of faith, because faith is demonstrated by words and actions, you know. But anyway, even to that point, it could be just one person, you know, and that was, you maintain a very high level of faith and belief.
Okay. He reminded the Lord, and that's the example that in these scriptures we're getting examples of how we are to pray. And that our faith is dependent upon our believing. And the Lord says, even if it's just a mustard seed of faith, that in our humanness, sometimes we doubt and sometimes we question. But the Lord says, it's a mustard seed. It's like he told Abraham in Genesis that he would, you know, he would spare Sodom, you know, if there were only 20, you know, he was going to desolate the whole city. But he said, if there were a few, then yes, I'll do that. But we are to to be able to come before the Lord, you're supposed to have the relationship, and I keep saying relationship over and over again because that's what this is about. That's what the covenants are about. That's what the commandments are about. And that's what the Lord wants us to understand, this relationship and the love that Him has with us. I'd like us to turn to Exodus, back to Exodus 32. And in Exodus 32, let's go down to verses 30 to 34. Back in Exodus 32, verses...
Is it Exodus 32?
Yes, still in Exodus 32, verses 30 to 34. So the next day Moses said to the people, "You have sinned, a great sin, but I will return to the Lord on the mountain. Perhaps I will be able to obtain His forgiveness for you." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made themselves gods of gold. Yet now if you will only forgive their sin, and if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." And the Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me will be blotted out of my book. And now go, lead the people to the place I told you about, and I assure you that my angel shall travel on ahead of you. However, when I come to visit these people, I will punish them for their sin." And I'm going to go on one more so that you understand this for clarity. And the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshipped calves. So there was punishment. There was punishment, but we still see the Lord's favor as He sent an angel that would travel ahead of them. Okay, so there was still the favor there and the forgiveness. And yes, there was a punishment because there was a violation of what the Lord has, of what God the Father has asked of them. But also, when we go back and we look and we talk about Moses asking for forgiveness for the people, there was the forgiveness also. So in this lesson, I believe that what the message is as far as prayer is concerned is that we need to go before the Father and confess our sins. That we confess our sins, and that in confessing of our sins, that we confess and we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. And then we also express thanksgiving for what we do have and for what the Lord is doing with us and for His loving kindness and for His
I would concur, but anyway, like as you put it, you know, confess our sins. Also, when we talk about prayer and communication, we want to establish a relationship with God, you know, one-on-one relationship with God, that we were able to communicate and we're able to demonstrate our faith.
Amen.
The Father really knows us. He knows we don't even have to say anything. He sees into us. But anyway, what's in our heart and our ability, as far as faith is concerned, what are we able to verbalize? How are we able to talk with Him, you know? And talking to someone that you don't personally see also is a sign of faith. And you have strong convictions, and you it's demonstrated by action.
Amen.
So God is actually, so anyway, it's a two-way communication. God is communicating with us. We're also communicating with Him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's turn to Joshua 10, verses 12 to 14. Turn right in your Bible, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua 10, verses 12 to 14. And as the men of Israel were pursuing and harassing the foe, Joshua prayed aloud, "Let the sun stand still over Gideon, and let the moon stand in its place over the valley of Ajalon." And the sun and the moon didn't move until the Israeli army had finished the destruction of the end of its enemies. This is described in greater detail in the book of Jashar. So the sun stopped in the heavens and stayed there for almost 24 hours. There had never been such a day before, and there has never been another one. And when the Lord stopped the sun and the moon, all because of the prayer of one man, but the Lord was fighting for Israel. I'm going to read that again in the King James Version, beginning with verse 12. "Then said Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand thou still upon Gideon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and has not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Amen. Amen. Any comments on that verse?
I'm sorry?
Any comments on that verse?
I think it shows the power of prayer and relationship with our God.
Yeah. Yeah. Because only God can make the sun and the moon stand still, not to do what their cycle, you know, the 24 hours of all daylight, and for the moon to stand still and for night not to fall until the Lord said so. Amen. 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 Let's look at Isaiah 36.
Isaiah 36?
Yes, please. Isaiah 36, we're going to start at verse 1.
Hold on one moment.
Okay. So in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Shemesheri, the king of Assyria, came to fight against the walled cities of Judah and conquered them. And then he sent his personal representative with a great army first with King Hezekiah to Jerusalem. He camped near the outlet of the upper pool along the road going past the field where cloth is bleached. Then Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, who was the prime minister of Israel, and Shebna, the king's scribe, and Joah, Asaph's, the royal secretary, formed a truce team and went out of the city to meet with him. The Assyrian ambassador told them to go and say to Hezekiah, "The mighty king of Assyria says, You are a fool to think the king of Egypt will help you. What are the Pharaoh's promises worth? Mere words won't substitute for strength. Yet you rely on him for help and have rebelled against him. Egypt is a dangerous ally. She is a sharpened stick that will pierce your hand if you lean on it. That is the experience of everyone who has ever looked to her for help. But perhaps you say, we are trusting in the Lord our God. Oh, isn't he the one your king insulted, tearing down his temples and altars in the hills and making everyone in Judah worship only at the altars here in Jerusalem? My master, the king of Assyria, wants to make a little bet with you that you don't have 2,000 men left in your entire army. And if you do, he will give you 2,000 horses for them to ride on. And with that tiny army, how can you think of proceeding against even the smallest and worst contingent of my master's troops? For you'll get no help from Egypt. What's more, do you think I have come here without the Lord telling me to take this land? The Lord said to me, go and destroy it. Then Eliakim and Shebna and Joah said to him, please talk to us in Aramaic, for we understand it quite well. Don't speak in Hebrew, for the people on the wall will hear. But he replied, my master wants everyone in Jerusalem to hear this, not just you, for he wants them to know that if you don't surrender, this city will be put under siege until everyone is so hungry and thirsty that he will eat his own dung and drink his own urine. And then he shouted in Hebrew to the Jews listening on the wall, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Don't let Hezekiah fool you. Nothing he can do will save you. Don't let him talk you into trusting in the Lord by telling you the Lord won't let you be conquered by the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for here is the king of Assyria's offer to you. Give me a present as a token of surrender. Open the gates and come out, and I will let you each have your own farm and garden and water until I can arrange to take you to a country very, very similar to this one, a country where there are bountiful harvests of grain and grapes, a land of plenty. Don't let Hezekiah deprive you of all this by saying the Lord will deliver you from my army. Have any other nation's gods ever gained victory over the armies of the king of Assyria? Don't you remember what I did to Hamath and to Arpad? Did their God save them? And what about Sepharvaim and Samaria? Where are their gods now? Of all the gods of these lands, which one has ever delivered their people from my power? Name just one. And do you think this God of yours can deliver Jerusalem from me? Don't be ridiculous. But the people were silent and answered not a word, for Hezekiah had told them to say nothing in reply. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and the prime minister Shebna, the royal scribe, and Joah, son of Asaph, the royal secretary, went back to Hezekiah with clothes ripped to shreds as a sign of their despair, and told him all that had happened. Amen. Brother Norm, are you still here? Brother Norm, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any comments?
I think it demonstrates God, his power and his ability to keep his word, and for us to be aware of false prophets.
Amen. Let me go to in the Living Bible again. it said in one day, this is, I'm sorry, Isaiah 37:38, in one day, while he was worshiping in the temple of Mishrach, his god, his son, and Amalek and Sherezer killed him with their swords, and then they escaped into the land. You know what, I think I had looked up the wrong scripture, but the scripture that I wanted to share with you, and I seem to have lost my place, was that the Lord is faithful, that when we have a relationship with him and have confessed our sins and petitioned to him, that he is he becomes our banner. He's Jehovah Nissi, that he's our banner. And he goes out for us. He goes out to fight for us. Amen?
Amen. And we not be deceived by what others tell us. As I mentioned, indicated, you know, false prophets telling us that this will happen and that will happen. We've seen evidence of God, you know, fulfilling his covenant, his promise.
Amen.
So we want to maintain our faith in God and do what is right.
Yeah. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to the New Testament. Ephesians 3:14. Brother Norm, I don't know if I ever told you how I learned in the New Testament where Ephesians was. Somebody had me remember. God's Electric Power Company for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And so that's how I learned where those was able to remember that God's Electric Power Company. It's funny how things like that you learn and you don't let go of. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Brother, do you have that?
You said Ephesians 3:14-21?
Yes, please.
Yes, I'll read. A prayer for the Ephesians. For the reason I kneel before the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep to the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I believe this chapter in Ephesians, as far as teaching us about prayer, teaches us to come before the Lord and with praises and adoration, that we're to come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of that he welcomes us, assured that he loves us, and we trust him because we know him. And I always say we know his resume. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares for us. We know that he takes care of us, that he has a plan for each one of us. So we come before him with praises and adoration, and that we should feel honored and be encouraged that he loves us so so much that we are part of his plan, that we're that we are so uniquely designed, that he wants us to have a relationship and a conversation with each of us, for us to pray and talk to him, and for us to listen to him, and he listens to us, and he adores us, and he cherishes the time that we come before him in praise and in worship and prayer and in thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. And it says, out of his glorious unlimited resources, his resources are unlimited. God, we can't beat God-giving. We can't beat God-giving. We can't beat God's imagination. We can't extend ourselves that far. That he, but the Lord loves us so much that he bestows these things on us as children. And that he gives us gives us strengthening, that the Holy Spirit is here to keep us encouraged and strengthened, and that Christ will be more and more at home in our hearts the more that we pray to him, the more that we trust him, that Christ will be more and more and more at home, that we will have a relationship. In this chapter, it is so strong. It talks about being filled up with God himself, that our hearts have become the temple, and the Lord dwells within our hearts. How awesome is that? How awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes, you know, as you're speaking, I'm reading 17, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people. But anyway, that gets back to the relationship issue, but it also, once again, talks about faith, how important that is.
Amen.
So that you are rooted in God's people.
Amen.
You're not like tumbleweed and just kind of, you know, just blown all over the place. You are rooted.
Mm-hmm.
You know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and you live the truth.
Mm. I just had a visual of the tumbleweed when you said that, of just not being rooted. Like sometimes when folks are not rooted in Christ, like I'll be a Christian today, I'll be a Jehovah's Witness tomorrow, I'll be a Mormon the other, you know, another day. That it's all good, but.
Lacking the foundation. You know, a house should be built on solid foundation. A house that is built on sand will crumble. It's got to have a solid foundation. It's got to be anchored to the ground.
Amen.
But anyway, same is true of our faith. You know, that we not be tumbleweeds, but we be rooted not in the ground, but in God. And that goes back to establishing a relationship, a true relationship with God, that we're able to communicate with him on a daily basis.
Let's go back to Acts. You're going to turn left in your Bible from Ephesians. And there are a few scriptures in Acts I want to go over. If we go to Acts 4, verse 1, we'll see where that takes us.
Acts 4?
Yes. Brother Norm, you want to start reading here?
Which verses?
Start at 1. Well, you know what? Actually, all of Acts 4 is talking about the love. If you want to, Brother Norm, you go on and start reading.
Why don't I start, and then I'll let you take over the remainder.
Okay.
We'll do Acts 4 jointly. But I'll start off. The priest and the captain of the people of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who we was lame and who was being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which had become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven which we must be saved. You want to take over, Suzanne?
Keep going. What line are you on?
13.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived what they were unlearned, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it's spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak here henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold, they're threatening. And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of the God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed with his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and land, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Praise the Lord. So this entire chapter speaks of the love of koinonia, the brotherly love, that they loved each other and took care of each other. But in prayer, we see active prayer here, that the apostles laid hands and people were healed. It says that the Holy Spirit came, and that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he was approached by the Sadducees and the priests and the other politicians and the police, that he in boldness spoke to them and spoke the name of Jesus Christ. And in reading this, it reminds me of today, where we hear it in the news, and we hear in our workplace, and being a person who works in education, of course you hear in schools where people feel threatened by the name of Jesus Christ. And I keep saying, and I probably have said it before, even on our program here, that if you do not believe in Jesus, then why should the name offend you? If you don't trust Jesus, or you say that there is no God, why would the name upset these people? But other names can be mentioned, but the name of Jesus, it just shows you the power that's in the name. So anyway, so here in this chapter we see healing taking place, we see miracles, and the Sadducees acknowledged the miracle that had taken place and wanted to cover it up. They wanted the disciples and all of the witnesses that saw it to not say anything. They tried to separate them from people, and it says in our scripture that they were threatened two or three times to be quiet about it and not to talk about it. But when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they were empowered to be witnesses for Jesus as their risen Lord. And on their way to the temple, Peter and John brought healing to a man in the name of Jesus who had been crippled from birth. And the scripture said that he was over 40 years old, I believe. That's what we just read, that he was, or 40-something, I'll just say. Anyway, the man was an old man, especially by the standards of those days, that he was an old man and had been crippled from birth and was healed as they walked through going to the temple in Jesus' name. Again, there's the name of Jesus. So as we pray, we have to remember, again, and I keep going over this, again, we learn that we pray and we adore God. We do lift up praises to God. We lift up adoration to the Lord. We confess our sins, like we saw in Exodus. We confess our sins, and we ask for forgiveness. We expose those things that we try to hide in our hearts, and we ask that they be exposed, and we ask for forgiveness. at correction, and we work at trying to do better. And then we give thanksgiving. We thank the Lord for what he's done and how he's used us, and we give him supplication. So we keep moving towards these. That's what prayer is about. That's what prayer is about, and having a relationship. So even further in 4, we see that they came together, they shared. You said that was koinonia, that they put all of their wealth and all of their belongings together and divided them equally, or divided them among based on need of the need of the individual, and that they were anointed. They came under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they celebrated. And they celebrated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Boldly.
Then you also think of the power of prayer in that you had Peter and John who were preaching God's word, and they were, the Sadducees, were unhappy about that and basically jailed them like they had done something wrong. And a God-sized miracle occurred. The populations, the people they were spreading the gospel to, teaching, grew to 5,000 overnight.
Amen.
And that was definitely a God-sized, revelation that, that there is a relationship between John and Peter and God. And that also, told, those in power, be careful how you handle them,
Amen, amen. What Peter and John had done here was that they did what the Lord had sent them out to do beforehand. So God knew. God sent them out in boldness, and that's how the Lord wants us to operate in the marketplace, to operate in our homes, in our communities, to operate in our businesses, in our work situations, to walk in Holy Ghost boldness, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to speak God's word boldly, 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 and to boldly come before the Lord, to boldly come before the Lord. As you exercise your relationship and you develop your relationship and you pour and invest in your relationship, just like with marriage and with relationships with your friends, with your teammates, if you're on a team or at work, building community at work, it's an investment, and you invest part of yourself, and the way we invest ourselves in that relationship is by communicating. It's by communication. So as we pray before the Lord, as we adore him, as we praise him, as we confess our sins to him, as we expose the weaknesses that we have, or we expose our fears to him and our doubts to him, and he takes those things and he builds on it and builds us up to where he wants us to be, we give him thanksgiving. We give him thanksgiving, and we just relish in it. God wants us to rest in his love. God wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to rest in his love and know that that we're going to be taken care of, that he cares for us so much, that we were created to praise him. I can't remember the pastor's name, and you all know me now that I get kind of excited and I'll go off on my own tangent, but I can't remember the pastor's name that said sometimes on television that we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience down here on earth, but we are spirit beings, and we are created to praise the Lord. And so when you're looking for something, when you're looking for that emptiness, to fill the emptiness that you may feel, or you're longing for this hurt that you, or pain or distress that you felt before that you haven't been able to get beyond, or to move on with, to move away from, like there's hiddenness in your life or shame in your life. All of us have something that the enemy has placed there, or the way that we grew up, or whatever. The Lord says that he'll take that. He'll take that. He'll build on it and everything that the enemy meant for evil, but the Lord will turn it around for good. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Can we go to Acts? Let's go to Acts 12:1. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, it says, about the time Herod, King Herod moved against some of the believers and killed the apostle James, John's brother, and when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under guard of 16 soldiers. Herod's intention was to deliver Peter to the Jews for execution after the Passover, but earnest prayer was going up to God from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. The night before he was to be executed, he was asleep, double chained between two soldiers, with others standing guard before the prison gate, when suddenly there was a light in the cell and an angel of the Lord stood beside Peter. The angel slapped him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chain fell off his wrist. And then the angel told him, get dressed, put on your shoes, and he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, as the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a dream or vision and didn't believe it was really happening. And they passed the first and second cell blocks and came to the iron gate to the street. And this opened to them of its own accord. And so they passed through the and walked along toward together for a block. And then the angel left him. Peter finally realized what had happened. It's really true, he said to himself. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And after a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for a prayer meeting. And he knocked on the door to the gate, and the girl named Rhoda came to open it. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back inside to tell everyone that Peter was standing outside in the street. They didn't believe her. You're out of your mind, they said. But see, I just want to stop right there because that's the way some people feel about zealous Christians, that they must be out of their mind. Those that want to be those that are intercessors, that will stand in the gap for other people. And when I say interceding and standing in the gap, I'm talking about those that are willing to take on the pain and actually pray for people and stand in the gap as if they were going through whatever situation as the person who is afflicted in whatever situation, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever situation that they're going through. So standing in the gap means covering them. So Peter was covered, completely covered in prayer as they prayed for him. And there must have been some true intercessors there that prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the angel came and the chains were broken and Peter was free. And the same thing can happen today with us and when we're in bondage, that through prayer and supplication again, through prayer and supplication that we can be free from the bondages that we are in also. This is the New Testament is today. These are the New Testament days. Brother Norm, you have something to add? I'm talking a bit.
Yes, but it also goes back to reflect on the relationship Peter had with God and the God-sized, miracles that occurred. And all of us are faced with, challenges, crises, financial, health, family, a variety of things. But anyway, through the power of prayer, God can, do all things. And so anyway, you want to maintain, it's important that we maintain that relationship with God and do his will, not our will.
Amen, amen. Let's turn to Acts 13, right after 12, Acts 13. Now there were in the church, Acts 13, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch were Barnabas and Simeon, And Simeon was also called the black man. Lucius from Cyrene, Manea, the foster brother of King Herod and Paul. And one day as these men were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Paul for a special job I have for them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Directed by the Holy Spirit, they went. So here we have another example of what goes along with prayer is fasting. Fasting. They go hand in hand. So prayer and fasting, so many examples of prayer, and worship, and worship. So as you worship and you fast and you ask the Holy Spirit to join you in your fast and prayer, the Lord will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts 14, verse 28. I think we'll go back to 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So these verses are telling us about sharing, that we're supposed to share what the Lord has done, to be in community. We're supposed to share our, my pastor says we're blessed to be a blessing. So we're supposed to share our blessings. We're supposed to share share in fellowship, share in hospitality, be in community with one another. We're supposed to share the goodness of the Lord, share what God has done for you. In the old-time church, we would testify. We would testify about God's goodness. I can hear my godmother and my mother talking about, let's just talk about the goodness of God, and saying, I just marvel at the goodness of God, and showing your thanksgiving for everything in your life. It's how the Lord has blessed you from beginning to end, the beginning of the day to the end of the day. You're lying down, you're rising up. The things to be able to find the right price at the grocery store. I remember my grandmother would say, for everything, she'd say, well, let me pray about it. So for every purchase, let me pray about it. Nana, can we do so-and-so? Let me pray about it. Nana, would you like to do such-and-such? Let me pray about it. And as a child, I would say, why do you have to pray about everything? Can't you make a decision? But as an adult, as a woman of God, I understand, and I'm very grateful for the example that she set, because Nana desired to always be in God's will. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I think, Brother Norm, think we should do another scripture real quick?
Sure.
Okay, how about if we go to Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 and 13.
Matthew 6 and, I'm sorry?
9 to 13. Brother Norm, you want to read it?
Sure. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Praise the Lord. Brother Norm, could you read a little bit further, please? That was the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to read a little bit further, too, please.
Fasting. This is 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to you, only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Thank you. So what
even we talk about, you know, fasting in this manner, it also goes, you know, a lot deeper too. Even with prayer, which we've been talking about today, there are those who engage in hypocrisy. They pray because there's people around, and they want to get honored. They want to be rewarded because their people see them praying and say they're holy, you know, and people have a very high level of respect for them because they see them out praying, you know, whereas you should pray in the closet. You should pray, in essence, pray privately. You're praying and communicating to God, not, you know, just for your relationship with him, not because you're trying to get some type of reward from your brother, the man in the street. You're doing what you're doing because you're establishing a relationship with God. Your reward is not here on earth, but it is in heaven. You can put on a show if you want to here on earth if you choose to, but you've gotten your reward already, so you can't expect to get it later in heaven. God is fully aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Amen.
That's another take on that. You know, but we got to be very careful about everything we say and everything that we do, because people are watching us, and we're being mentors, we're spreading the gospel to other people, you know, and we just serve as a stumbling block. Whereas John and Peter were disciples, they were teachers, we are also, you know, teachers, so we have to be careful about what we do, and we have to stay in prayer that we do God's will, not our will.
Amen. We praise the Lord for the Lord's Prayer, as we said. Well, that's the example of how to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, you heard at the beginning the adoration, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there was the adoration, and then the confession that that we have debts that we owe, and we ask for forgiveness for that, but we also forgive the others. And then we're thankful for how the Lord protects us and takes care of us and provides for us. And the last line of supplication also,
you're doing God's will and God's protection for us by us doing his will and understanding and being in touch with his, being in relationship with God primarily.
Absolutely. And then we're forgiven also. So in prayer and this evening, I hope that you have received from it. So what should we pray? Well, we should praise God for his character and for what he's done for us. We praise God because he is our Lord and because he is an authority. We praise the Lord for his power. We praise the Lord because he's holy, because he's good, because he's righteous. We praise the Lord for his mercy and his grace and his kindness, for his willingness to forgive us, for his willingness to continuously love us, for his wisdom and his knowledge. We praise the Lord because he's just. We praise the Lord because he's eternal, and his eternal existence, because he's omnipresent. We praise the Lord because of his work of creation, that he's our source, he's our source of supply, that he is the great creator, he is our creator. And why should we pray on behalf of others? Well, we pray on behalf of others because that's what we're called to do. We're called to intercede. We're called to give thanks for men and on behalf of other men. We're called to pray for our leaders. It's our responsibility as spirit-filled Christians to pray for our pastors and our leaders in our churches, to pray for our leaders in business, to pray for our leaders in politics, to pray for our leaders when we talk about the Army, when we think about the President of the United States. Whatever your politics is makes no difference. You pray for your leaders because if they are in a position of leadership, whether you like them or agree with them or not, you are called to pray for them. We pray for children and for family members. We should be praying for widows, praying for the sick and the homeless, to pray for the lost sinners. And you've heard me say pre-Christians, those Christians that have not been saved yet. We pray for our enemies and the people that persecute us and don't understand us. We pray for sick people and those that are suffering, those that are lame, those that are disabled. We pray for them. We pray for our elders and teachers. We pray for all Christians that we would all be strong, that we would all endure, and we would all be faithful to the very end.
Amen. But, I want to reiterate, the Lord's Prayer. Keep in mind, this is a prayer that that Jesus Christ spoke, and he was giving us an example. But there was definitely multiple messages in the prayer, because he says, "Our Father," and this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this time, Jesus was on earth, but he's letting them know that it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And, money is owed, sins we've committed, we want to be forgiven for. We also have forgiven our debtors. We've forgiven people who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. We don't want to repeat our mistakes. And deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us away from, keep us away from Satan. And if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, but this is something that's spoken by Jesus, But us being Christians, we want to do what was in the prayer. This is an example of a prayer, but this is also things we're supposed to do ourselves. And so we have to be very cognitive, very aware of our own health, of our own spiritual health, and how we are leading our lives.
Amen. We should make requests and give thanks. So that's what supplication is. Supplication comes from the word supply. So we may make requests or we give thanks to the Lord because he is our source of supply. We must remember that to thank him for the blessings, And like I tell you that my pastor says, you're blessed to be a blessing. And there's some other specific things that we should pray about, and that's that God's will be done, that God's will be done. We should praise him and thank him for the necessities of life, like the air that we breathe, our covering, our dwelling places, that we should ask for forgiveness of sins. We should look and ask for the ability to recognize that our discernment, our spiritual discernment is keen, that we have the ability to recognize and resist temptation. Pray for good health, pray for our health, deliverance from our enemies, for freedom from oppression, but from rulers and from sin, for safety and travel and care for loved ones that you may be separated from. Pray for your household, that your entire household be saved. Pray for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's will. Pray for peace, for courage, for joy, instead of disappointment and discouragement. Pray for the salvation of others. Pray that there be laborers to teach the lost, and laborers to work in the field. Pray for our missionaries. We have to pray that we're bold and clear in our preaching and teaching of the word, and that there'll be opportunities for us to preach and teach the word. That we should pray in support of our preachers, and as our preachers are praying, that we are praying for them, that we are interceding for them, that when you have, especially when our friend in the ministry, that you're interceding for them. If you can't go on the mission field, intercede for those who can. That you pray and thank the Lord for the sacrifice of the cross, and that you partake in communion, the Lord's Supper, that you partake in the baptism. Baptism in water, and the baptism by in the Spirit, that you pray for faithfulness, for the good works, for life that's pleasing to God, that you pray for one another's strength, that you pray for patience and to be long-suffering, that you pray and thank the Lord for his grace and mercy, that you pray for love, and that you have a loving heart, and that you bestow love on others. Praying for unity in the body of Christ, praying for sanctification, and praying for eternal life and eternal glory. Praise God. I thank you all so much for this evening, for our talk on prayer, and I know there's so much more that we can talk on when it comes to prayer, but I hope that's enough to just pique your curiosity, to study a little bit more, to look a little bit more into the Word, and to pull out your commentaries and your study Bibles, and really, really look at what prayer does. Don't discount prayer. That's where our power lies. So we're going to close right now in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed each and every household, Father God, that's been in attendance with us this evening, and those households, Father God, that will be listening it through the archives, Father God, that you will bless them all, Father God. Let the blood of Jesus cover each and every household, Father God. Let the grounds around their homes be saturated by the blood, Father God, that every door and every window be covered, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit fill each and every room of the house, Father God, that as our brothers and sisters lay down this evening, Father God, that they lay down, Father God, in confidence, Father God, that your ministering and warring angels are camped about them, dear Lord. Give them peace, Father God. Let their dreams, Father God, be filled with the things that you would have them to dream, Father God. Enlighten them, dear Lord. If there be anything, Father God, that has been misconstrued, Father God, or that I may be in error, Father God, please correct me, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for each one that has listened. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Father God, of being able to come over the airways this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. You're so wonderful, Father God. We worship you. We love you. In Jesus' sweet, sweet hope. Amen.
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 God bless.
My mind, it's so hard to understand. not